Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. Violence against women received national attention in recent weeks as Congress debated varying versions of the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. The House passed their version of the measure this week that excludes extending protections to Native Americans, lesbian, gay, and transgender Americans, and illegal immigrants. This morning, we're going to talk about this very important topic. Joining me this morning is Ms. Germay Frazier Darlington. Ms. Darlington is a psychotherapist, a former teacher, a certified motivational speaker with Les Brown, and a best-selling author, and is featured in the book The Queen's Legacy. Ms. Darlington is the author of My Journey to Spiritual Restoration. This is an autobiography about her life and how she overcame poverty, abuse, domestic violence, and many serious medical death experiences, including being poisoned at 3 months old. Ms. Darlington was elected by Cambridge's Who's Who as Executive Professional Entrepreneur and Professional of the Year 2010-2011. Ms. Darlington is a member of Individuals Who Dare to Lead. Ms. Darlington is a sought-after speaker and has made several appearances on television, radio, and women's groups, and has spoken on several topics, including an advocate against domestic violence. Germay, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Ron, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, you were here several months ago, and we had a really, really good discussion. So I want to know what you've been doing since our last engagement.
I have been creating the wealth that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard.
Amen. Now, I understand that you have a second book being published, or you're working on your second book at this point?
Yes, I am. I am working on my second book, Love Me or Leave Me. Mm-hmm. And it talks about domestic violence in its entirety. It talks about ways to prevent domestic violence. It talks about life after domestic violence. Mm-hmm. It talks about children being abused in domestic violence. And it just gives a statistic globally, as well as what people can do to prevent themselves.
Now, obviously, authoring a book can be a drawn-out process, takes a lot of work. Talk a little bit about the work that you're putting into it and some of the things that you have to do to get published.
I've realized after I had published my first book that it really takes discipline.
The title of your first book?
My Journey to Spiritual Restoration.
Okay, good.
So after publishing My Journey to Spiritual Restoration, that actually took six months to be completed. Mm-hmm. This is working full time and being a mom and everything else. It takes discipline. Most times people begin to say, well, you know, it takes years, it takes months. It doesn't. It could take as short as you choose it to be or as long as you choose it.
Right.
So once you have some type of a discipline, and discipline could be writing 30 minutes a day for 3 days a week.
Right.
Until the book is done. And once you develop a routine, and a routine is formed after doing the same thing for 30 days consistently. Mm-hmm. So once you form a routine, you can actually up it from 30 minutes three times a week to 1 hour,
right,
four times a week. You know, you can play around with it because really the sky is not the limit. So your sky in writing your book depends on what you want or how fast you want your book to be written.
There are two very important and weighty issues that's now becoming part of the national discussion, the Violence Against Women Act, the reauthorization of that legislation, and the tragic story of Marissa Alexander, who was recently sentenced to 20 years in a Florida prison for firing a warning shot into a ceiling to prevent another beating by her abusive husband. What are your thoughts about that? I know that you're dealing with domestic violence in your books, but I really wanted to get your core feelings about this very important issue, because I know these issues are close to your heart.
Yes, they are. You know, I read the article on Violence to Women Act, and it, even though that part of it has been approved by the Senate at this time, the things that the Violence Against Women Act actually brought out, which is a good thing, because women that have been violated, children, teenagers, whether it has been through sexual abuse, physical abuse, economical abuse, you know, whatever, emotional abuse, this act is a good act because law enforcement as well as agencies and businesses have looked upon the Violence Against Women Act as a good thing, and they have actually created different programs within their jobs to prevent women or to assist women who have been violated this act.
And one of the interesting things, part of the debate is being launched by the Republicans because they objected to measures that would protect lesbians as well as Native Americans and, of course, the issue of immigrants.
Exactly.
And, but which I find appalling because we are dealing with issues of domestic violence, and the protection should be extended to all who are victims of domestic violence. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree with that. As a matter of fact, in my research on Violence Against Women's Act, it was very appalling to know that because someone is in a relationship, a same-sex relationship, or because they're a Native American, or because they're an immigrant, they've not been born in this country, they should not be included in the act. And that's disgusting within itself. Because violence is violence, regardless to your sexual preference, regardless the way you've been born, and regardless to your nationality.
Absolutely. And regardless of your sexual orientation, which, of course, I mean, we don't have to debate the issue of whether or not you agree with same-sex relationships and those kinds of things. But as you've indicated, violence is violence. And why folks would wrangle over this idea that, one group shouldn't be protected because of their sexual orientation, I find absolutely amazing.
It's amazing, Ron, and it's appalling. Because violence is violence.
Right, right.
One's sexual orientation is their business, and they should have the same right to be protected regardless of the relationship they choose to be in. And the government has to be held accountable, and people cannot sit down and sleep any longer for the government to make it happen. We, the people of the United States of America, have got to get that done.
Now, right now, between 600,000 and 6 million women are victims of domestic violence each year. And between 100,000 and 6 million men, depending on the type of survey used to obtain the data, they are being abused. Mm-hmm. And so this is an issue that should reach far beyond anyone's particular political agenda, in my judgment.
Yes, because a person is a person and has nothing to do with their sexual orientation, has nothing to do with their native land. It has nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
One in three women are abused around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is on a daily basis. So collectively, globally, there are millions of people being abused.
Mm-hmm. Now, my honest assessment of the issue is that too many men, and you can agree to disagree, but I believe too many men, especially our lawmakers, are still mired in denial, and that they don't really grasp the gravity of the kinds of abuse that women particularly are experiencing. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, Ron, women have been abused from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And because men has not been held accountable, they've not been educated, they've not been force by the law enforcement agency to correct their behaviors. Now it's a pattern because it has consistently occurred over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yes, too many women have been abused, but this time enough is enough, because not only are women being abused, one in three women globally every minute, you have the law force agencies, the government, that is actually saying, you know what, we're going to pass this part of the Violence Against Women Act, but this part, because you're Native American, because you are in same-sex relationship, or because you're not an American being born in America, you don't qualify to be it. But you know what? People are people regardless. And everyone should qualify.
Now, why do you suppose, again, without having a drawn-out political discussion, but why do you suppose politicians are using this issue to deny the protection, the full protection of individuals engaged in these kinds of relationships? What does your gut say about why this is occurring?
Well, you know, everything runs on money. The dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not saying that same-sex marriage or people in same-sex relationship does not vote or doesn't pay taxes or whatever. But when you look at how the economy is constructed, they're looking at people, maybe the minorities. Because when you look at illegal aliens or immigrants, their percentage of Americans are immigrants. And when you look at same-sex marriage or same-sex relationship, maybe it's a lesser percent. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, so maybe they're looking at the least percentage and think, well, okay, because they're the least of, in terms of numbers, in terms of numbers, not values, in terms of numbers, they're feeling that maybe they can do this and get away with it. But collectively, whether the whether someone is in a same-sex relationship, whether they are immigrant, whether they're not a Native American or they are a Native American, we all suffer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We all suffer.
Well, why are you so passionate about this issue? What drives you? What inspires you to sit down, write books about it, to be interviewed about it, to spread the news, to advocate? What is inspiring you to be heavily involved in this issue?
Ron, that's a loaded question. Well, you know, I can look back as far back as I can remember. Mm-hmm. I was poisoned when I was 3 months of age. Mm-hmm. And that's domestic violence within itself.
Right, right.
The person who poisoned me was 12 years at a time, and there was no penalty, there was no reprimand. At 6, 7 years old, I was sexually molested. And that occurred for a long time by a family member. Mm-hmm. Okay, at 16, I was raped by someone who claimed to have loved me, and nothing ever happened to those people. Then, of course, I got married, and my ex-husband tried to kill me. He actually pinned my shoulder down and penetrated my chest with a butcher knife. Okay, I've seen my older sister, who is deceased right now. I saw her husband at the time. He took a knife, a butcher knife, and he cut her with it. I grew up in Guyana, South America, and I have seen my aunts being beaten with machete. I mean, beaten and branded, and they had no voice because society tells them, listen, you know, you have to be a good wife, a good woman, and this is what he likes, and this is what you have to do. And in the meanwhile, they were being beaten. I've seen my cousin's eyes busted by her husband, and they were Catholics. He busted her eyes. To this day, her eye is still damaged. Mm. And I've seen this over and over and over again. And I remembered, Ron, when I was very young and I was molested, and I told my grandmother about it. I was told to shut up, and I was smacked. So I was silent for many years. But I've gotten to the point when I got married and I saw my ex-husband now repeating those behaviors, yanking my hair, punching me in the chest, kicking me off of our bed, pushing me out of a 18-wheeler truck as the truck was driving at 70 miles an hour. I have got to be a voice for the people that don't know that they have a voice to tell the people or to tell the world we don't have to subject ourselves to this type of abuse, and to hold the law enforcement agencies responsible and hold Congress responsible, because we are all part of America, that, and we are people.
Yeah, those are obviously really, really painful experiences and painful memories, which, of course, requires us to deal with what is happening in Florida. There's a woman, as I indicated at the top of the show, Marissa Alexander, in my judgment, is an injustice. It's established that she is the victim of domestic violence. It was established that her batterer, her husband, was beating her, and that he had engaged in this kind of battering in prior relationships. It was established that she fired a shot, a warning shot, to prevent him from beating her once again, and yet she was convicted. I find that to be outrageous.
It's appalling. You know, I read her story. I've done some research, and it disgusts me to know that someone who is advocating for herself to be safe so that she can raise her children is being held accountable and as an abuser. So the laws have got to change. The laws have got to change.
Now, what I find interesting about this case, Marissa Alexander, is that one of the reasons why she had been convicted is because when she left the house, she actually realized that she left the keys in her house. Mm-hmm. And she went back in the house. She grabbed the gun because she understood the gravity of the situation. She grabbed the gun and fired off a shot, a warning shot, again, to prevent being abused by this man again. Now, the only reason she went in the house is so that she could retrieve her key, so that she can escape the situation. Mm-hmm. And yet she is being penalized for going back in the home. How outrageous. I mean, this is utterly ridiculous in my judgment.
That is why, Ron, myself, you, and other people have got to come together to force laws to be changed, because she has a right to protect herself.
Absolutely.
She was strangled. She was beaten. And, I've read articles, and they were saying, well, you know, she was angry. She was not in fear. They don't know what she was, because they were not her.
Absolutely.
I've been in those situations, and I was numb, because I don't know when the door will be kicked open and when I would be attacked. And she has a right. She has a right to have gone back into the home to retrieve her keys so she can get up and get out of there as fast as she could. And America can no longer sit back and accept this, because Florida law says no. Florida law has got to change. And if it takes force of people coming together collectively to change those laws, the time is now.
Do you think there should be some kind of nationwide movement against this particular injustice to possibly encourage Florida's governor to pardon? I don't know if that's too early in the process, but we understand as a sympathetic nation that this woman was facing potential death. If this man, again, he's known to have battered other women in prior relationships. So the evidence is there, in my judgment. And as the judge used the excuse that he has no discretion in this matter, obviously the laws has to be changed. But I do think that there needs to be some kind of force in terms of being able to encourage the governor to step in some situations.
Oh,
like
most
this.
Definitely. You know, she fired a shot in the ceiling. She did not hurt the children. She did not shoot him. You know, most oftentimes, and I was appalled as I read this, because when you're angry, you don't fire a shot in the ceiling. You fire a shot at whomever is attacking you.
Right, right.
And she didn't do that.
And I think many people will find the contradiction, because as you know, George Zimmerman killed young Trayvon Martin in Florida, and yet he has an ankle bracelet, and he's somewhere in another state from what I understand. He's not in jail. He is out on bond, yet this woman is going to be serving 20 years, and she killed no one. That's outrageous to me.
It is outrageous, and that is why collectively people like myself, you, and others have to come together nationally and force states to change their laws. Again, she did not hurt him. Even though she was beaten badly by her husband and was hospitalized, and he has physically abused several of his baby mothers, he actually is being encouraged to continue that, because there's no penalty that has been imposed upon him. But the law has got to change.
Yeah, yeah. As you mull over these issues, and as you ponder and contemplate what women are going through, what is the message that you want to send women who are struggling with this issue right now, who might be hearing this interview, might be facing abuse at this very moment, cowering in the corner somewhere, while the door is being kicked down? What message are you, or would you like to convey to those women?
My message to those women like myself is, if you don't stand up for what you believe in, you would end up falling for anything. The time for cowering in a corner or hiding or screaming is over. We have to first educate ourselves. We have to be encouraged and strengthen ourselves by forming networks of people. And we have to speak up. And we cannot allow us to be abused by anyone. We can't allow, whether it's our boyfriend, our children's father, whomever. We have to stand up. Not to kill or not to shoot, but to tell them enough is enough. We cannot accept that any longer.
Now, the Congress, the House, they offer a bevy of excuses as to why they vote one way or the other. But for this particular issue, what message would you like to send our lawmakers in Washington, D.C.?
Their law right now is biased. A black woman decides to send a warning shot, and she's being victimized by the law enforcement, by the system. That has got to stop. They need clarity. They need to form a different, it's like a coalition of people with different backgrounds. And on that committee, people that have been abused should be on the committee. And they have to be forced to change their laws.
Absolutely.
Because if they're not forced to change it, they will continue to do what they think is best, just to satisfy their law, but their law has got to be thrown out. They have to be forced. Mm-hmm. They need to form a committee. And on the committee, they need to have people that have been abused. They need to have people from different segments, different walks of life on the committee, mm-hmm. including law enforcement agency and mm-hmm. even an attorney.
Well, we have just about a minute left. Are you satisfied with where the direction that Charlotte and the Mecklenburg County, are you satisfied with the direction they've taken to deal with the issues of domestic violence? There are a plethora of different organizations and groups and advocacy agencies that are dealing with this. But what do you think about their efforts?
I believe their efforts are very worthwhile, mm-hmm. very good. Mm-hmm. I'm involved in many of the different groups and discussion that goes on with domestic violence. One thing I do have to say, though, when I was seeking assistance from the court system against my husband at the time, and I had gone down to the courts, and I mean, the judge had said to me, not the judge, but, you know, the person who interviews you, mm-hmm. she had said, well, you know, you don't have any marks and you don't have any black eyes. And I had to say to her, but the knife was not on your chest.
Wow.
You don't know the trauma. You don't know. I didn't pull my shirt down to show you the mark that's in my chest, with a knife mark on my chest, or the punches that I got in my chest, or my hair being yanked. So if someone comes to the court or comes to the judge trying to get a restraining order or an order of protection, don't expect all the time to see physical marks. Because some of the marks would just blow them away. So right. Not because the marks are not exposed, I don't have marks. So, and then I actually had to convince her. So that's something in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, they need to take a little seriously.
Well, Gurmay, I certainly appreciate you sharing your harrowing experience. I don't think a lot of women are capable of sharing the details of their abuse. And so I certainly appreciate you coming in. What's next for you?
Well, I will be finishing my book, Love Me or Leave Me. I'm also getting ready to graduate from college again.
Praise God. You already have so many different degrees. I mean, wow. That's a wonderful thing.
Ron, the sky is not the limit.
Amen.
The sky is not the limit, because I need to be in a place where I make my own decisions, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and not have to depend on systems, not even a job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And also to empower women. I would like to put more time into doing life coaching and spiritual coaching to empower men as well as women. Because I also believe that, you know, we focus a lot on women being abused, but we have to change the men's attitude.
Absolutely.
To
yeah,
teach
I agree.
Them to be responsible, that you have a responsibility to yourself and this woman. And only a coward of a man would be abusing a woman.
Amen.
Because real men would not abuse anyone. And if a man abuses a woman, it means that he doesn't even feel good about himself. So we have to change the men's mindset also.
Absolutely. Well, Gurmay, thank you so much for coming in this morning and talking with me and sharing your thoughts and perspective on this issue. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Ron, for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I'd like to again thank Gurmay Frazier Darlington for sharing her personal experience with domestic violence. Her candor and honesty about her personal experience and journey ought to inspire us all to be more sensitive about violence against women. More importantly, we all should care to become strong proponents of measures, laws, and efforts to stop domestic violence, especially against women and children. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.